Let's go back to the book of Genesis this evening. And we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 28. And I want to talk to you about Jacob's ladder. And I'll go ahead and read these verses to you to kind of refresh your memory. We did go over these verses a little bit last week, but I want to do so in more depth this evening. And so I'll pick up the reading at verse 10 of Genesis 28. And it says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night, because the sun was set. He took of the stones of that place, and he put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed." And actually, these next three words are the title of the message: "Behold a ladder." Behold a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, there are several beholds there. I'm sure you're noticing that now if you haven't before. "And behold, the Lord stood above it." This is the great I Am. And he says, "I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac." And he says to Jacob, "The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed," that is in the Lord Jesus, "shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And here's another behold. "Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." In this book, the Word of God, the Lord has given to us a full and very complete revelation of His mind and His will and things pertaining to salvation. Now, the Word of God doesn't tell us every single thing about God, but it does tell us what we need to know. It doesn't tell us everything about ourselves, but it does tell us what we need to know. And it doesn't tell us about the Lord Jesus, everything about the Lord Jesus and everything that happened to him during his earthly ministry. But it does tell us those things that we need to know. God has given us an abundance of truth that leaves us really without excuse. And we're thankful that He has given to us His Word, because this book is, of course, the inspired Word of God. And there are no fears of something being wrong or that there's an error somewhere. This is without error. The Word of God, as originally given, is without error. And we do believe that the King James Version is the very best translation of the Scriptures. I was blessed many years ago to receive as a gift a book that tells a brief biography of everyone who translated the King James Bible. And these were men who were very knowledgeable in Hebrew and Greek, and men who loved the Scriptures, men who loved the Word of God. And God has preserved His Word. There's no question about the fact that the very preservation of this God's word is miraculous. Because men have tried to destroy it. They tried to do away with it. They tried to burn it. But it keeps on going. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will last forever. But in the days of these, the patriarchs, and even the prophets, and even in the days of the New Testament, much of the New Testament, certainly during the days of our Lord's earthly sojourn, they didn't have the scriptures like we have. They couldn't go to the book of Romans. We, back in the office tonight, one of the brethren read to us from the book of Romans. They didn't have the privilege of being able to do that. And we do, but they didn't. And therefore, the Lord spoke to men in various ways. And we read that, indeed, in the book of Hebrews, the very first chapter, in the first verse and the second verse. God spoke at different times and in various manners. He spoke through angels. He often did. He even spoke to an animal. And he spoke many times through dreams. But now he's spoken unto us by his Son, is what we read in Hebrews chapter 1. And in this portion of Scripture, the Lord speaks to Jacob in a dream. Science tells us that dreams reveal oftentimes our subconscious thoughts. Well, if that's right, Jacob must have been thinking about the vast distance between him and God. He must have been very troubled about his own guilt. And then that in relation to the very holiness of God. He realized there's a great gulf fixed between himself and a holy God. And he must have been considering the need of a bridge in order to span that distance. This is a remarkable revelation that God gave to Jacob. And such a remarkable revelation leads us to this conclusion. There's going to be a good end in this for Jacob. Something good's going to happen for him and to him. Now, I'm sure there are two or three reasons why the Lord gave this vision to Jacob. One, to do away with his fears. This is a man with lots on his mind. His brother is set out to kill him. His mother overheard or got word that Esau said, when the days of mourning for our father are over, because they thought that Isaac would be very soon dead. And Esau said, when the days of mourning for our father are over, I'm going to kill my brother. And that's been told to Jacob, and now he knows that Esau, he's hot on his trail. And he is out for blood. And so he is encouraged by his father and his mother to leave. And then also to go into the land where he could find a bride for himself, not from the nearby, from the communities or nations nearby, the Canaanites and so forth, but to go and find a bride among the people of Abraham. He's got lots on his mind. And the Lord comes to him and lets him know that he's protecting him. This is about the guardianship of our Lord. And he says to him in verse 15, I am with you. I am with you. He said, I will keep you. And how reassuring this must have been to Jacob, to alleviate his fears. Just this very day, I sent a text to a child of God and reminded them, the Lord is the guardian at your door. He guards your house. And I say to all of you who are the Lord's people, He is your guardian. He stands guard outside your house. He not only stands guard outside your house, He stands guard inside your house as well. He said, I don't slumber. I don't doze off. I don't sleep. I'm always awake. You're always on my mind and you're always under my watchful eye. And so the people of God need not fear. This was given to Jacob, but at least one of the reasons was to dispel his fears. I'm with you. It doesn't matter where you are, what the circumstances are in your life. The Lord says to all of His Jacobs, we're the sons of Jacob, aren't we? And we'll get to that in just 2-3 weeks. We're the sons of Jacob. And the Lord says to all of us sons of Jacob, notwithstanding the fact that we are cheaters and we're as ungodly as Jacob was. See, there was no difference between Jacob and Esau except the difference grace made. Jacob was ungodly by nature, just like Esau. But the Lord says to Jacob, I'm with you, I'll keep you. I'll keep you. We have a shepherd. He's the Lord Jesus. He's the good shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep. He keeps His sheep. He's not going to let the wolf in to devour you. He paid an awesome, awesome debt that you owed. He paid it in full. What a price of redemption. He bought you because He loved you. He's got all of this invested in you and He stands guard. He watches over you. So this is given, one of the reasons this vision or this dream is given to Jacob is to dispel his fears. We're even told in the book of Romans chapter 9 that the elder shall serve the younger. God will even make your enemies to serve His purpose regarding you. That's something. But here's something else, even more important, really. This is going to be the occasion of his conversion. So this is not only about taking care of his fears, but this is the time of his conversion. He's already received the promise of the birthright. And the blessing has been given to him. But he has been chosen of God. He is a vessel of mercy. The Lord said, Jacob have I loved. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. You say, well, what was there about Jacob that would bring forth the love of God? Why did God love Jacob? Well, let me ask you a question. You who are the people of God, why did God love you? Just think about that for a minute. Don't answer out loud, but answer in your own heart. Why did or why does God love you? And if your answer is in any way related to, tied to, or even hints that He loves you because of something you have done, are doing, or will do, you lack an understanding of the gospel. There's only one reason why God loves anybody. Only one. There's only one correct answer. And that is because He would. That's the only answer. God loves you because He willed to love you. You say, well, there's nothing lovable in me. Well, I know there's nothing lovable in you, nothing lovable in me. Because we're full of sin. There's a stench about us. And yet God, for His own purpose to magnify and glorify Himself, He loved us always. He's always loved Jacob. And now He's going to reveal His grace to Jacob and reveal to him the means by which God will receive him through this ladder, which is a picture of our Lord Jesus. And then here's something, a third thing to remember. The Lord has Jacob exactly where He wants him. And you know what his situation is? He is all alone and he's got nothing. he's got nothing. He doesn't even have a little pad to unroll so that he can lay down and go to sleep. He doesn't even have anything to even make a pillow out of. He's got a rock for a pillow and the ground for a bed. But if you knew that God Almighty was going to deal with you in grace, would you not gladly put your head on a rock and lay down on the ground? Jacob is, he's all alone. He's got nobody. He's not going to see his daddy for at least, well, it's going to be better in between 20 and 25 years at least. And his mother, he was so close to his mother. When he kissed his mother goodbye, he would never see her again and she'll never see him again. He's never going to see mama again. And he was mama's boy, right? He was mama's boy. Never going to see his mom again. And his brother, here twins, twins in birth. His brother is his enemy. Oh, how all alone he is. But that's a good position to be in when God gets you off just to himself. Gets you away from everybody else. Remember that woman in John 8 caught in adultery? They threw her before the Lord Jesus. Here's what the law says. Stone her. What do you say? Our Lord Jesus didn't say anything. He knelt down and wrote something on the ground. Somebody say maybe he wrote the names of those men who brought her. I don't know what he wrote. Scripture doesn't say. Best for us to be silent where the Scriptures are silent. Then he got up and he said, you that are without sin, you go ahead and start throwing rocks first. And they began to leave one by one, the oldest first. Till finally there wasn't anybody left. The Savior said to the woman, woman, where are those thine accusers? No man, Lord. There's nobody here but you and me. Nobody here but you and me. Neither do I condemn thee, he said. Go and sin no more. That's a good place to be when you just, it's just you and God. Just you and God. Woman in Samaria by Jacob's well, very much alone. She didn't even want to be seen by the rest of the city. She'd been married five times and then she's living outside the bonds of marriage with another man. There she is by herself. Oh, that's a good place to be. Good place to be. Ethiopian eunuch. He by himself. God sent him a preacher. All alone with the Lord. Jacob. He's all alone. And he's empty-handed. As far as I know, he had nothing except the clothes on his back, the sandals on his feet. He had a little bit of oil. And maybe he had a little bit of meal to fix a little cake of bread or something. He's got nothing. Unlike his father, who's got everything. Abraham gave to Isaac everything. And here's Jacob. He's got the birthright. He's got the blessing. But he ain't got anything else. You remember when Eliezer went in search of a bride for Isaac? He had 10 camels loaded down with stuff. 10 camels. And here's Jacob, poor Jacob. He doesn't have one camel. He doesn't even have a little donkey. He's just walking. He's got nothing. He's empty-handed. Like Naomi in the book of Ruth. Naomi and Elimelech left Bethlehem. And you know the story. We won't get into that. But, of course, Elimelech died. Her two sons died. And her two daughters-in-law were widows then. And one of them went back to the Moabites. And Ruth said, I'm going to stick with you. Naomi came back with Ruth. She came back to Bethlehem. And everybody saw her coming in. All the city was moved by seeing her. She's just poor and penniless. Must have dressed in rags. She looked like a pauper. And they said, is this Naomi? She said, don't call me Naomi. You call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full. The Lord's bringing me home again empty. That's Jacob. He's empty. Oh, that God would empty us and show us we're just beggars before Him. We have nothing. What do you have to present to Him? Nothing. Nothing. We just say we don't have one thin dime. We're broke. We're beggars, as somebody said. We're beggars on the dunghill. There's nothing to commend us to God. Nothing to recommend us to God. There's no loveliness about us. There's no value to us. We're just full of sin from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. Isaiah 1 says there's no goodness or soundness in us. Just wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that haven't been bound up. No ointment to put on. This is a good way to be, alone and empty. That's Jacob. He's away from the love of his father. He's away from the warm embrace of his mother. He's away from all the comforts of a home. But he's all alone with God. And even though he doesn't have anything, he's going to be made to realize he has the riches of God's grace. Don't ever talk about or moan about what you don't have. You have all things in Christ Jesus. You were blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Him. Don't talk about what you don't have. You have the Lord Jesus. He's your shepherd. He's your friend. He's your Savior. He was your substitute. He was the satisfaction of God's justice. You have Him. And so this man who is all alone and empty, who has nothing, he dreams a dream and he sees a ladder. There's no question in my mind to say this is Christ the Lord. He is the ladder. He spans the distance between heaven and earth and earth and heaven. That's one of the reasons I had to sing that song. I was telling Marty, I usually call her, or Susanna calls her and tells her what the song's going to be for tonight. And I apologized to her, so I forgot to call you. And we talked about, she knows this, the song that we sang at Calvary. She knows it backwards and forwards and everything in between. But one of the reasons I wanted us to sing that song is because of that verse that says, Oh, the love that drew salvation plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. There's the ladder. There's the spanning of that distance. How can anybody from earth go to glory? There's a ladder. Well, will there one come from heaven down here? Yes. He is the ladder, Christ Jesus the Lord. Well, since heaven and earth have been separated by sin, this ladder has reestablished contact. It's reestablished. He has reestablished contact. What kind of ladder is he? Number one, he's a living ladder. Every ladder we've got is a dead ladder. It's just a dead thing. But he's a living ladder. He came, he died to justify us, but he didn't stay dead. He didn't stay on the cross. He didn't stay in the tomb. He came forth very much alive forevermore. He told his disciples, he said, because I live, you shall live also. He told John there in Revelation chapter 1, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He's the living ladder. And I'll tell you something else. He's a long ladder. He is a long ladder. The longest that ever was. For he reaches all the way from heaven to earth and all the way from earth to heaven. The heaven speaks of his deity. The earth speaks of his humanity. And the uniting of these two natures, the nature of God and the nature of man, in one person, is the mystery of all mysteries. You see, the glory of the Godhead did not destroy his humanity, and his humanity did not destroy the glory of God. This is mysterious. He's a long ladder. But here's what this long ladder does. It spans the distance between earth and heaven. Joe and I were talking the other day about universalism and those who believe the truth of particular redemption. You see, those who believe in a universal redemption, they have a ladder, but it doesn't go all the way. It doesn't go all the way. They got a bridge, but it doesn't span the gulf. It almost goes across. It almost reaches to heaven, but you got to add your faith to it. You got to add them last couple of rungs to the ladder. Well, that's no good. That's no good. To have a ladder that's too short, It won't get you there. It can be as wide as you imagine it to be, but a ladder that is too short won't span the distance. It's useless. That's universal redemption. It's useless. Our Lord Jesus is indeed the narrow way. He's the narrow ladder, but it spans the distance. Here it says, it's set on earth and the top reached all the way to heaven. That's the salvation I want. That's the redemption that our Lord has accomplished. Goes all the way. He's a long ladder. He's a narrow ladder, but it's a long ladder. And I'll tell you something else. It's a set ladder. You notice that it says here in verse 12, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up," which means established. This is a ladder established by God, not made by man. This is established by God. "It is therefore immovable and indestructible." Nobody can destroy this ladder, because Christ was set up by God from old eternity. And it's an everlasting ladder too. Every other ladder wears out. I know we used to have one of those long, Nancy's mother and dad, they had a long wooden ladder, because they had a two-story colonial house and had to get up there. I'd get up there and clean out the gutters. That ladder would just barely clear the edge of the gutters. And I hated to go up there and clean out the gutters, but I had to do it. Kind of hard to get off that last rung and get up there. But once you get up there, I'll holler down to Nancy, "Isn't there anything else I can do while I'm up here?" Just trying to put off making a commitment to get on that first rung going back down. Because that had to be total commitment. And then one day, I put that ladder up there and I hit the first rung and it broke. And I said, "This ladder is no good anymore." It's wore out. It rotted. But our ladder, Christ Jesus, no corruption in Him. No. And no matter that millions have used this ladder all the way to glory, never going to wear out. It's an everlasting ladder. He's the unchangeable Lord Jesus. The life He gives is everlasting life. The righteousness He gives is everlasting righteousness. The redemption He obtained is an eternal redemption. And the salvation He gives is an everlasting salvation. And I'll tell you something else about this ladder. It costs you nothing. It's free. It's a free ladder. What about that? No cost. No cost. Not to us. But it sure cost Him. And it cost Him His life's blood, which He gladly paid. But it is a ladder that is strong. It's a strong ladder. He's able to say to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. And I'll give you one more point on this. He's the only ladder. He's the only one. Nobody can span the distance between earth and heaven except our Lord Jesus Christ. The only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you this in the second thing. What kind of ladder is He? I gave you that. Here's the second thing. By this ladder, blessings come down to us on earth. And by this ladder, our prayers go up to God in heaven. Same ladder. Same ladder. Paul said, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." All forgiveness comes by way of this ladder. All forgiveness. Doesn't come anywhere else. comes from the latter. And then I thought about this. Here's the third thing. What are the various rungs of the ladder? Various rungs of the ladder. What do they stand for? Well, I got thinking about that a little bit. Well, there's the rung of the eternal suretyship of Christ. That's one of the rungs. When he purposed to come down here to this earth, the first rung was his eternal suretyship. God gave him a people, and our Lord Jesus stood good for all of them. That's the first rung of the ladder coming down. And then the next rung is all of his Old Testament appearances and all the prophecies and the pictures of him in the Old Testament. Then his personal appearances to various individuals in the Old Testament. And then another rung was his incarnation. That's when heaven came to earth. And his life of obedience to every law of men and of God. And how far down the ladder did he go? All the way to death. As far as it go. All the way to death. But what are the various rungs going back up for him? Resurrection. Ascension. His coronation. His current session as mediator and governor of the world. And the judgment of all men, his eternal majesty. He is the ladder. God comes to us through him. We go to God through him. Just one ladder. I don't know how anybody could make any mistake about this. There isn't another way. Our Lord Jesus is the only one. The only one. And then I'll give you this. I kind of thought about this too. Well, the ladder has all those rungs. But a ladder's got two sides. All those rungs are connected to each side. What do you think those are, Jim? Well, I think one of them's the eternal purpose of God. That's steadfast. That's steadfast. You're talking about something solid. And the other side is the invincible grace of God. Yeah, the purpose of God and the grace of God. Can't be defeated. Can't be frustrated. And the Lord revealed himself to Jacob. He said, I'll keep you. I'll keep you. And I'll tell you, he woke from his dream. He said, this is Bethel. This is Bethel. This is the house of God. This is where the Lord made himself known to me. And he rejoiced in that ladder. He rejoiced in Christ Jesus from then till he died. And now in glory all these hundreds and hundreds of years. Same one we rejoice in. I'll tell you one other thing about this ladder. Everybody who's ever gone to glory went by way of the same ladder. Isn't that something? From Abel, way back young. He's the first one. And he found that ladder. Oh, it held him up. Took him all the way to glory. And all down through the centuries, all these children of God have been using this ladder. The ladder has been revealed to them. And he's been revealed to us again tonight. Same ladder. Upheld by the purpose of God and the grace of God. You've got to rejoice in that. Surely you do. Rejoice in the Lord. Well, let's pray. We thank you, Father, for the revelation of yourself, of your grace, the revelation of your dear Son in this portion of Scripture. Lord, if you haven't already, get us off to ourselves where there's nobody but you and us. Just you and me. Show us our neediness. We're of all people most alone if God's not with us. And show us our emptiness, our spiritual poverty. And then in the Lord Jesus, you've given us all things. All spiritual blessings are ours in Him. And you've sent Him. You set up this ladder from old eternity. Millions and millions of your children have been taken to glory by this ladder. And all of our petitions, all of our prayers, they go up to you by way of this ladder. You send angels to us to minister to us. And then they go back by way of this ladder into your presence to receive further instructions as to how they can minister to us, the heirs of salvation. Lord, your grace and your gospel is so magnificent. We're just filled with thanksgiving and with worship. And we bow before you and we say, bless you, dear Father. We honor you. We adore you. We believe you. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Continue to cause us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. For Christ's sake I pray. Amen.